Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, brought to you by the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. We invite you to come be with us. Can we have a Bible study together in your home or a convenient place? Be glad to sit down and do that with you so that we can simply read and learn more of God's Word. If you have any questions that you would like to ask, I would be glad to study with you at a time and place that would be convenient. Let's sit down and learn God's Word together. Or can you come worship with us? You would enjoy simple New Testament worship each Sunday and Wednesday. We meet at 9:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We have a singing tomorrow evening, Sunday evening, on the fifth Sunday of the month. If you like to sing, come join us for that tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. We'd be glad to have you sing with us at our monthly singing. But can we get together and learn how to live right and worship right and serve God right in this world that we live in? We're here to help each other get to heaven. And if we can help you in that regard, if you can help us in that regard, let us get together and do that. And we're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll continue looking at well-known, famous Bible stories. And we come up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. There is a Bible story here that a lot of folks know about, even if they have been to a Bible class or a church service growing up at some point. They know about David and Goliath. And we want to look at that Bible account this morning. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. A lot of folks know the story about David and Goliath. They know how that the young shepherd boy took a stone and put it in his slingshot and swung it around and hit the giant in the forehead with his stone and killed him, and the story of David and Goliath. And a lot of times that story becomes a metaphor for great challenges. You'll hear people talking about how that such and such situation is a David and Goliath situation, where you have insurmountable odds, you have large hurdle that you have to overcome to, or some large enemy that you have to defeat. And so sometimes you'll hear it used as an expression, a David and Goliath situation. This is a true story taken from the Old Testament. We want to see what we can learn from it this morning, and we're glad that you've joined us. This is a very long chapter, 58 verses in the Bible, and so we're not going to read all of them. We're going to pick up the reading in verse 17. We'll get a lot of them, but when you start reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1, you find that the Philistines have come out to battle against Saul and his army. And in the first 11 verses, their champion, their giant named Goliath, is described. And various attributes about him are described. And of course, the well-known one is that he is a very tall man. We find in verse 4, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Using an 18-inch cubit, that's going to be a little bit over 9 feet. This is a very large man. Of course, his great armor, the weight of it, and the extent of it is given in those verses as well. So he's a very tall, well-armored soldier for the Philistines. And then in verses 12 through 16, we find that Jesse had some sons, and three of the oldest sons had gone to fight in this battle with the Philistines, and the youngest, David, was keeping sheep. And in verses 17 through 27, Jesse, the father, said to David, his son, to take some food to his older brothers who are fighting in this battle. And when David shows up, he hears Goliath taunting the Israelite army, and he hears him talk. And he becomes interested in this situation, and eventually he volunteers to join and fight this man, this great champion. And in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And so nobody wants to fight this man. Nobody wants to go up to battle. And so David begins to ask questions. And David begins to insert himself and assert himself into this scenario. And he's a young shepherd boy who becomes the star of this account. And there are some reasons and some characteristics of young David that make it so, and that's what we want to learn from this morning. We don't have physical giants that we're fighting. We have metaphorical giants that we are fighting in our life from time to time, and these same qualities will help us win those spiritual and emotional battles. Some people battle with addiction. Some people battle with immorality. Some people battle with things of their past, guilt and grief and depression and other things like that. Some people battle with moral and ethical matters, especially in a very ungodly world that we live in. More and more people do not want to follow the truth of God's words set forth in the Bible. And so we battle with ideologies and false doctrines and errors and different things that people are propagating. Homosexuality, transgender, abortion, other kinds of things like that. Legalizing recreational use of pot that is physically damaging the minds and bodies of a whole generation. And the latest studies on that are showing that it's a direct cause of schizophrenia in more and more people. There are serious consequences to this. So whatever the ideology or attitude, we have to confront that. Lawlessness. There's a lot of states now whose mayors in cities, city council, governors, state legislators are just not upholding laws that have been on the books for years. They just say, we're not going to uphold the law. In fact, some are telling people now to disobey the law, especially when it comes to matters of ICE enforcement, of illegal immigration. There's been news stories in the past few weeks of officials telling people to ignore the law on that, including judges, which is very disheartening that judges will tell people to disobey the law on immigration and things like that. So we have our giants to battle today, whether they're personal or political or otherwise. What can we learn from David to help us be a champion in these battles that we might have from day to day? Let's pick up the reading in 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. And I want to look at several characteristics of David for our admonition this morning. So David has been listening to Goliath make his taunts and his speeches. And we pick up the account in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why are you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that you may see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned away from him toward another, and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. Let's stop right there. We're going to come back to Eliab's statement in just a moment, where he impugns David's motives, attributes bad motives to David in verse 28. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. I want to focus in on the statement in verse 29, is there not a cause? The first characteristic that I want us to consider this morning as we look at this story is that David was a champion because he understood that there was a cause. There is a cause worth fighting for. And when we lose sight of that, when we realize that there is no cause, there is no purpose, there is no goal, there is no reason, there is no reason to get up in the morning and live right, when we lose sight of that or have never even learned it, then no, we're not going to be able to battle properly. There's a lot of people, because they don't read their Bible, they don't even know what the cause is. Why am I supposed to live? Who am I supposed to serve? Is there a God or not? Is there a purpose in life or not? Is there not a goal each day that I get up to do something? They flounder and wander and go back and forth. They have no idea up from down, right from wrong, left from right. They don't know what the cause is. They just get up and vegetate each day and go through some motions and do it all over again the next day. There's a cause, friends. There is a purpose for our life. That's to serve God. Follow His Word and serve Him. Believe and obey Him. Live faithfully for Him. And do what He wants us to do. To uphold the right and to object to the wrong. There's a cause. Some people don't even know it because they're not being taught from a youth up God's Word. If they're taught anything, they're just an animal in a long line of evolution, billions of years of evolutionary change and just random chaos. That's no cause. Some have been taught it, but they have forgot it. So lesson number one, if we're going to be a champion and beat the foes that we face, we're going to have to know what the cause is. We're going to have to know what the fight is. And the Israelites had lost sight of the fact that they are an army whose God is their leader and their ultimate commander. And they're running around scared. They're backpedaling. They're fearful. And they've lost sight of their cause. Is there not a cause? Underscore that in your Bible. That is an awesome statement. And it's interesting that a young shepherd boy was the one to remind them of that. You would think that this would be from a rousing speech of a commander or a leader out front giving those words of encouragement and courage. Is there not a cause? No, it's coming from a young shepherd boy. The adults don't know what the cause is. And this young shepherd boy does. Let's know what our cause is, and that is to serve God, believe and obey Him, and live a righteous life each day. And that will be the foundation to take off from there to do the battle. Let's look at a second characteristic that made David great. Look at verse 31. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. He's the king. He should have been making those words. But he's not a leader. So they tell Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him," because of Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." "You can't do it, David. You're too young. You're too weak." The second great characteristic of David was that he did not allow criticism to deter him. The "you can't" syndrome, or "I can't. I'm a failure. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I don't have the ability. I don't have the opportunity." The defeatist type of mentality that goes on today in the world. It's no wonder why a lot of people won't change their life. They're being told they can't. Just accept your defeatist situation. He didn't listen to criticism. And I also want to add in at this time from his own older brother in verse 28. When David shows up, his older brother, who should have been supportive of him, starts in on him with all kinds of bad motives, impugning his motives as to why David was out there. First of all, he was out there, verse 17, just to take his brother some food. They should have been appreciative of that. But when he shows up, Eliab says, well, I know what's going on here. Look at the three things that he says in verse 28. The first thing he says is, who's watching the sheep? In other words, number one, David, you're irresponsible. You're out here when you should be doing your job. Number two, he says, I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, or different versions, insolence and evil and different things. He may have been saying something to the effect of, you're not content to watch the sheep, but you have risen up in your pride and you think you can come down here and meddle in our matters. And then the third thing that he says is, you have come down here to see the battle. You want to see some bloodshed. You want to see some fun. You want to have a good time. We may not know all of the ins and outs of what Eliab was trying to do with all that, but clearly he is impugning David's motives. But here's the point. David didn't allow that to deter him. Oh, my brother doesn't like me, so I'm going to quit. And Saul thinks that I'm too young, so I'm going to quit. I'm just not going to go ahead with this. Youth had nothing to do with this battle, as we're going to see in a minute. You're too young. And whether it's you're too young, or you're to this, or you're to that, don't allow criticism and excuses to deter us from being a champion and fighting in the battle. It's a great quality to have. Too many people listen to the negativity and the naysayers and the negative comments and the negative looks and the rolling of the eyes and the lack of support, and they get bogged down in that, and they become discouraged themselves and quit. And that's exactly what the devil wants. The you can't do it. So the second quality was that of ignoring criticism. Let's look at a third quality. Look at verse 34 now. David said unto Saul, thy servant was keeping his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose again against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant smote both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Here's a third quality of David. He was proactive. Underscore in your Bible in verse 35, I went out after him. When David saw what the problem was, that a lion or a bear would come and take one of his flock, I went out after him. David didn't have to have somebody come hold his hand and be a support group and give him suggestions and tell him what to do and push him and prod him and poke him to go get the lion or the bear. He was proactive. I went out after him. He didn't need a committee to tell him what to do. He didn't need a pep rally. He just did it. He saw it and he did it. And that's what he's doing here. He shows up. He sees this Goliath taunting Israel and he starts making plans to take care of it. We need more of that in our lives today, friends. God gives us a lot of common sense and a lot of natural ability to take care of what needs to be taken care of. We just don't do it. We just don't act on it. We need to be more proactive and less reactive, where we just wait until somebody comes and makes us do something. What a great quality. What a great personality. I'm not saying that we will never need help. I'm not saying that we can't gain encouragement from others and help from others. But David didn't need anybody to tell him when it was time to go fight. He had learned that from fighting bears and lions who would come and take away his flock. So a third quality is that of taking action. If you're going to win the battles that you need to fight, you need to stand up and start fighting them. Again, you can get some help and you can get some encouragement, but it can't be because somebody's always poking you and prodding you and pushing you to do it. That means you really don't want to do it. I went out after him. What a great statement. His father Jesse didn't have to show up. Hey, you might want to go get that lion and bear. He took the initiative. We need more initiative, friends. And when God sees that we have initiative and we get up and start fighting that battle, then he'll give us that help. Let's look at another quality, a fourth quality that David had. Look with me at verse 37. His great trust in God. This wasn't about just purely physical acumen on David's part where he was able to sling a stone around and he's really good with that. And it was all David. David trusted in God. He was a believer. Verse 37. And David said, Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and Jehovah shall be with thee. A fourth quality is David is a believer in trusting in God ultimately. Ultimately, the battle belongs to the Lord. And Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God, and in the strength of his might we go out. Ultimately, he provides us with those tools and help to win the battle. It's not just us. It's not just purely a secular, atheistic world where we get up and fix our problems by pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, so to speak. We need God. And we need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to be a New Testament Christian. We need to be baptized into Christ and faithfully serving God each day. And he'll help us. He'll deliver us. Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. We need faith and belief in God if we're going to win these battles that we need to win. It's not just about us. And so, are you like that, friend? We've gotten so secular in our world, we're taking God out of everything. People don't read their Bible anymore. People don't pray anymore. People don't attend a church service anymore. And then they wonder why their lives are messed up, their marriages, their families, their social life, their finances, their relationships, their physical bodies. They're unbelievers. And they're living their life by their own human wisdom. And the proverb writer says, if I can encourage you in Proverbs 3:5, we're not to lean upon our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord, follow his word, his will. He made us. He knows how we need to live. So number four, notice David's great faith in God. Here's a fifth characteristic that we can see of David. And that is, he's going to go fight with that which is proven for him, that which works. So look at verse 38. And Saul clad David with his apparel, his armor. And he put a helmet of brass upon his head and clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his apparel, and he essayed or attempted to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, that's what he was used to as a shepherd, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his wallet. and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. David was going to fight his battle with that which he knew would work for him. He's not going to try to beat this man with things that he's not used to. I don't normally wear a helmet. I don't use a sword. I don't fight with this kind of heavy armor on. I can't move like I would like to move. This stuff doesn't work for me. He used what worked. And in our case, it's what God tells us in His Word that works. We don't need to lean upon our own understanding and what the philosophers say and what the doctors say and what the psychologists say, and by that I mean the worldly ones, and what the experts say and what the scientists say and what the journals say. You can see marriages and families and lives on the rocks because they're trying to do something that doesn't work. David used what worked. Let's look at another quality, starting in verse 41. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and withal of fair countenance. David was a good-looking young man. That's even mentioned back in chapter 16 and verse 13. He had a beautiful countenance, goodly to look upon. But it's his character that's causing him to win this battle, not his looks and not his youth. It's his character. And when the Philistine, Goliath, sees all this, 43, the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the birds of the heavens and to the beast of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to thee in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." He would not allow Goliath to taunt him. Earlier, he did not allow criticism to affect him. Now he's not going to allow outward taunting and yelling. And people will yell slogans at us, and they'll say all kinds of things about us, especially when we stand up against immorality, and we don't need to allow that to deter us. And so he goes and he fights him, and he runs to him to meet him. Verse 48, David put his hand in his bag, took from there a stone, slung it, smote the Philistine. The stone sank into his forehead. Verse 49, he falls on his face. David goes up to him, takes his sword, and cuts his head off. Verse 51. And the men of Israel and Judah rose and shouted. So as we come to the close, David is the champion because of these great qualities that we've looked at. He won the battle because of these qualities. And friend, you can too. Have these qualities of David, and you'll be the champion. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.